Argentina's currency plunge is a challenge for the government, but perhaps an opportunity for some entrepreneurs?
It may sound weird, but having your currency collapse every now and then can be a positive for certain things.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Argentina is set to announce new measures today to try and contain its worst currency crisis in recent years as its finance minister heads to Washington to meet the head of the IMF. Now, the Argentine peso has lost almost half its value this year, making investors increasingly uneasy about the country's ability to meet its obligations. The BBC South America business correspondent Daniel Gallis reports.
It will be a make-or-break week for Argentina's president, Mauricio Macri. On Monday, his government will announce new measures to bring back confidence in the country's finances. Over the weekend, the main Argentinian papers reported that as many as 10 ministries are likely to be axed in an attempt to save costs, but also to show a change in leadership. And on Tuesday, the country's finance minister, Nicolás Duhovne, will meet with the IMF's director general, Christine Lagarde. His goal is to finalize a deal that would quicken IMF payments to Argentina. It is expected that Argentina will outline further spending cuts in exchange for aid. Analysts say this is a defining moment in the Mauricio Macri presidency. He was elected 3 years ago on the promise that he would reform Argentina's economy and bring back foreign investment. But his failure to approve key reforms and defeat inflation have caused a serious confidence crisis in markets.
Daniel Gallis. Now, Santiago Belinkis co-founded OfficeNet, an office supplies company that survived the last Argentinian crisis and was bought by Staples in 2004. He says entrepreneurs there instinctively know crises will come.
Well, the thing is, Argentina doesn't really have a currency. I mean, Argentinians save in dollars, think in dollars. We buy our houses in dollars. We take our debt in dollars. You cannot buy groceries in dollars. So we do use pesos all the time. But we never really trust them. So at some point, there's a run on the peso and we see our currency collapse. And then, I mean, that has huge impact on the economy, a big recession coming. And you know it's going to happen. I mean, maybe it's not for another 10 years, but it will happen eventually. So you have to be ready for that.
Now Argentina is potentially facing another crisis. I mean, from an entrepreneur's perspective, what do you think the country could be doing to make things more stable?
I'm not really sure. I'm not an expert in public policy. I know as an entrepreneur, you have to learn to turn this into a positive. And most Argentinian entrepreneurs do that. And it may sound weird, but having your currency collapse every now and then can be a positive for certain things. I think the first thing you learn is you don't fight with reality. I mean, if life gives you lemon, you make lemonade. There are certain things that happen here that create opportunities. For instance, if you are in the U.S. And you have a huge domestic market, why would you think of turning your business international early on? Thinking international is second nature for Argentinians. When I created my first company, I did Argentina first and Brazil 3 years later. Best Argentinian entrepreneurs are not even thinking international. They're thinking out of Earth. Some of the best space companies coming from the private sector are coming from Argentina.
Santiago Belinkis there. Let's do the numbers. More news from troubled emerging markets this morning. Turkish consumer inflation rose to 17.9% in August, the highest reading since the end of 2003. Producer prices also saw a jump to 32%. Now, on the heels of those figures, the country's central bank said inflation poses significant risks to price stability and its monetary policy stance will be, quote, adjusted at its meeting this month. Meanwhile, the British pound is down 0.5% after the EU's Brexit chief negotiator said he opposes parts of the UK Prime Minister's Brexit proposal. Now, US markets are closed for Labor Day. Here in Britain, with that uncertainty around Brexit intensifying, news that people are struggling with smaller but trickier debts. That's according to new figures from the UK's National Debt Line. Matt Hartley, who works at the Debt Advice Charity, explains.
10 years ago, typical callers to our service, National Debt Line, typically had credit card debts, big personal loans, overdrafts, perhaps a mortgage. 10 years on, we're seeing vastly fewer problems with what you might call traditional debt products like credit cards and loans. And instead, people are just struggling with everyday household bills, their energy bill, their rent, their local government taxes.
Now, I imagine that's because people have less money to spend.
Well, what we saw in the aftermath of the financial crisis was a really prolonged squeeze on household incomes. And more of our callers are calling us with simply not enough money coming in every month to cover their essential expenditure. So around half of our callers now have a budget deficit. That sort of chipped away at people's ability to keep up with their bills and repay what debts they do have.
So what's the advice for those struggling with debt and for policymakers?
Well, it's really important to seek advice early if you are struggling. We know only about 17% of people who have a debt problem actually seek advice, so contact a free debt charity as soon as possible. And for policymakers, there is a new single financial guidance body that the UK government has created. There is a new scheme to protect people in debt from interest and charges, but what there isn't is a joined-up cross-government approach to bring together this work into a single coherent approach. So we want to see a formal cross-government strategy to reduce problem debt, and because the problem is vastly different from 10 years ago and we need to get to grips with it.
Matt Hartley. Finally, big book deals usually come to writers of English fiction, but a former Indian bicycle rickshaw driver has secured a deal for 14 of his books to be translated by an Amazon-owned publisher. Manoranjan Biopari is the author. No figures have been released. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.